All right, if you have your Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9. I don't know, I've gotten into the book of Hebrews, and man, I tell you, it's just, I know where I want to be, but it's hard to settle on a starting point, amen? Because there's so much good stuff there in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, and I think we're going to start about verse 6. Now, before we get started this morning, let me just take just a minute to make sure we understand what's going on in the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews, I believe, was written by Paul. Some folks, you know, might argue with you about that, but that's okay. But anyway, it was written. Who wrote it might be a point that folks can argue about it, but who it was written to was very obvious. It was written to Hebrew believers. It was in Jesus Christ. It was written to Hebrew converts, folks that grew up knowing all about the Old Testament, knowing what everything in the Old Testament was about and how it fit into daily life and what it was to represent. And to the Hebrew believers, the writer here, he began to explain how that Jesus Christ fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. Everything the Old Testament was looking for, it was found in Jesus. Amen? Whatever you read about the sacrifices, let me tell you what a good subtitle to this book is. Something better than, or someone better than. It says Jesus was a little better than the angels. Jesus was better than this. Jesus was better than that. Jesus was a better sacrifice. Jesus is a better covenant. And here in the ninth chapter, as I was looking at this and trying to find some place to start reading, to tell you the truth, I got all the way back to the middle of chapter 8 to explain things that were going on. But we're going to begin in verse 6 and just go from there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meat, drink, and divers washing, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation of Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, and neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. or if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of all of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Brother Bobby, would you lead our heart as we pray?
Heavenly Father God, we just thank you again, Lord, for this time that we have come together, Father, to worship you. We just pray, Lord, that you be with Brother Williams today as he stands before us, Lord. We just pray that you lead him and guide him through this message, Father, and his words and doubts and his morning, Father. We just want to thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for us. We just thank you for the blood that you shed for us, Lord. We know we're not worthy of that blood, but Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for shedding that blood for us. We just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your children, Lord, the gift that you give us. We just pray today, Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, we pray that you just trouble their heart this morning, Father, that you deal with them about their lost condition. We pray that you let them have any rest, Lord, until they come to you for salvation, Father. We just thank you again, Lord, for these blessings. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love to talk and to speak about the tabernacle. Amen. I do. I love the tabernacle because everything about the tabernacle points to Jesus Christ. Everything. I mean everything, to the very thing that it was made of, gold and silver and bronze. It all speaks of the work of Christ. Gold presents a deity about him being God. You know, we have a Savior that did not become God, but he was God eternal. Amen? He was always in. He was always in. That's a tongue twister right there, but it's the truth that only Christ can fulfill. He didn't just start. He didn't have a beginning. He always was in. He just always been there. You know, whenever, I get off into something else, so let me just continue on. The silver represents redemption. Christ redeemed us. That's what he's talking about here. The brass or the bronze talks about God's judgment. The wrath of God was literally, not figuratively, but literally, the wrath of God was poured out upon Christ on the cross. Folks, can I tell you, whenever he was in the garden and he said, "Except this cup pass from me, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me," he wasn't talking about grape juice or anything like that. That cup was full of the indignation and the wrath of God that he had to drink on our behalf. Folks, let me tell you something. When we talk about the tabernacle, everything was about Christ. And here, he's specifically, if you would have went back to the 8th chapter of Hebrews, beginning along about verse 7, he starts talking about better promises. He's talking about there's another day coming. Israel is God's chosen people.
That's right.
Better be careful how you deal with Israel. They were God's chosen people. But they were chosen for a reason. And that was that the oracle of God was given to their care. What's the oracles of God? That's his law. That's his word. And they were responsible to go out in all the world to tell the things of God. Now, that's enough of that. I just want to say something. That God set up in the wilderness this tabernacle. And without going a whole lot into detail, the tabernacle, what's called the tabernacle proper, the actual tabernacle itself, the tabernacle was made up of basically three parts in general. The courtyard, and it was wrapped in a white fence kind of thing, and then you would in there was the altar and the brazen laver. And before you could go any further, you had to face that big old altar and have your sin dealt with. Brothers and sisters, today everybody wants Christ, but they don't want to go through the cross. And I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. You better get your sin dealt with first. That altar was made out of brass. Speaks of God's judgment. You get past it, and the labor, it was made out of brass, and it was filled with water. It represented, among other things, the washing and the regeneration that was going on. And I know that it gets a lot deeper than what we're talking about this morning. I'm just kind of hitting the high spot, because then you went into the next room, what they call the tabernacle proper, the actual tabernacle itself. And it was a room that was about 10 cubits, which was about 15 feet, more or less, by 30 cubits, I think it is. And then it was divided into two positions. And then the first room you went into was the place that is talking about in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. And in there was the candlestick on one side. The table of shewbread was on the other side. Both of them was made out of shittim wood and overlaid with gold. In the back of this room, it was approximately 15 feet, 20 feet, I think, something like that. The back of this little room was another little altar, and it was made out of gold. The bloody altar was outside. The inside altar was just made for burning. That represents the prayers of the saints. Said a while ago, we were talking about prayer. It's a privilege to pray. Folks, let me tell you, God's people are to always be praying. Amen? But folks, let me tell you, it's a privilege to pray. We can go before God with our prayers, and we can know that they're heard. Now, the scripture said that the priests were able to go into this first room, into the tabernacle, the holy place is what it was called. And there they give service every day. When there was a curtain, it divided the tabernacle, the holy place, and the most holy place, the holy of holies. Known by both names. This curtain, if I understand it right, was about 6 inches thick. It was a heavy curtain. It was something that no one was allowed to cross. I sleep with a fan on at night, and if I'm not careful, it blows the covers off the bed. But this curtain, the fan wouldn't blow it. It was something that was impenetrable. It was there. It was a barrier. Now that was a picture of the flesh of Christ. It was also a picture of not being able to go before the throne, because in that next room was basically just one piece of furniture, I guess you'd call it. The Ark of the Covenant. There's a whole lot there. But in that room, the high priest could go only once a year. And he had to take with him blood from the sacrifice. To offer, and this is what I want to just say very briefly, to offer to cover his sin first. Amen? Can I tell you something this morning? And the office of a pastor is not the same as the office of a priest. And I'm not saying that in no way. But I want you to know something. Your pastor is human, and he makes mistakes too. Amen? And he slips up and that kind of thing. The priest, the high priest, he would go in behind that curtain once a year to offer sin, or covering for his sin, for him first. And also, in verse 7, for the errors of people. Now let me tell you something that's kind of parallel what the pastor does sometimes. he makes intercession. And not just the pastor, but can I say that all of God's people can make intercession for other folks? Aren't you glad that we can pray for other folks? We pray for ourselves first, and then we pray for other folks. We intercede. We go to God on their behalf. And folks, let me tell you, it's not a small thing when you pray for someone else. It means something. But here in the Old Testament way of doing things, I don't care how much you pray for somebody, you're not going to get their sins forgiven at all. Amen. This high priest was going behind that curtain with blood to offer sacrifices and gifts on behalf of his sin and on behalf of the sins of the other, to make a covering. In the Old Testament, or atonement, in the Old Testament, the blood of the bulls, lambs, and etc. only covered sin. And he just rolled it back to the cross. But now, but Christ. So that's what was going on. Then we come to verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now he was speaking of the earthly tabernacle, the things of the earth, the world, neither by the blood of goats nor calves, but by his own blood. Now, the things that happened in the Old Testament in the service of the tabernacle was a picture of things to come. We talked a little bit in Sunday school and brought up the illustration of a picture, you know. The picture, you know, most of us carry pictures, photographs of our children, grandchildren, or something, you know, either in our wallet, hanging on the wall of the house, or in Michelle's case, every picture she ever took since she got a cell phone. I didn't know they could be so many pictures. But they're images, or those images are not the real thing. Their images are portrayals of things, of other things. The person or the thing, whatever it is that pictures up. That's what the tabernacle is. It is a picture of things that was going to shortly come to pass, that was going to be fulfilled in the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen. And one day, our high priest left heaven. Became a person, a little bitty baby, born in Bethlehem, that grew up for some 30, 33 and a half years, walked among other people, took upon himself the form of flesh, and one day, 2,000 years ago, our Savior laid his life down on the cross. And in many respects, was slaughtered just like the lambs and the bullocks of the old man, and shed his precious blood, and was lifted up for all to see, and to ridicule, and to make fun of, and to carry on. And Brother Sammy's done that all for us. And then our Savior, the one that paid for our sin, took his blood and and entered into the Holy of Holies once and for all, with not the blood of goats, a bull, of some other sacrifice, but Brother Lemmy, he went into the Holy of Holies with his very own blood and offered it there a ransom for those that would believe in him. You know, I'm disturbed today at how many times that we talk about salvation being free. It cheapens it, folks, because our salvation is anything but free. Jesus paid the price. That my high priest, my Savior, that became my high priest, went on my behalf and with his very own blood paid for my sin. And all I had to do was say, Lord, Savior. I didn't go with anything to offer. I didn't bring a lamb to the slaughter. I didn't bring a payment for my sin. But whenever I asked Jesus to come into my heart, the payment was already made. You're here today and you're dealing with something. I'll even back up a little further than that. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, can I tell you that Jesus paid it all? I don't owe anything because it was paid by him. All I have to do is. You accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You know Jesus as your Savior. Is our song going to come and our piano?